Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Is everybody excited today? Great. I want to do a couple of announcements before we get into it. Firstly, we are not going, not happening Christmas Day. The Christmas Day service is not happening. We'll do the Sunday, the day before Christmas Eve, and we'll have a celebration then, but we're not doing Christmas Day. Zoe and I are having the first one off in 12 years. Yay for us! And funny enough, my daughter has to work in the morning. So anyway, so that's Christmas Day. No Christmas Day service. Christmas Eve, so the 24th, we'll meet and we'll do church as normal. And then Christmas Day is off, okay? Then the following week is actually New Year's Eve. So the next following Sunday after Christmas is New Year's Eve, right? So we are not going to have a 10 a.m. service. We're going to combine with Busselton here and we're going to meet at 5 p.m., right? We're going to have an evening service on New Year's Eve at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's going to be a bring and share dinner as well. So we'll do service and then have a bring and share dinner. And it's going to be with Busselton coming down to us as well. And so we're all combined in one place for New Year's Eve. That's going to be good. Something a bit different. And then the following week after that, which will be in the new year, about the 7th, and I'll do a poster with all these things on there for you and put it on socials and put it out everywhere. But the following week after that, we're going to all go down to Busselton for 1 o'clock. Join in lunch there and then do service there. And then if you want, afterwards we can go and have a supper at the beach and chill down there and enjoy the new year. Sound good? Yep. Great, because you have no choice. That's what's happening. But I just wanted to, you know. Anyway, do you know there are two types of people in this world? Especially when it comes to Christmas, the two types of people become known to everyone. The first person or first type of person is like this one. Can I have the first picture? The Grinch. We all know a Grinch or two at Christmas, don't we? You know, they just go through life. Life is normal. Life is every day. Doesn't really get excited about much. Miserable face. You know, that's the Grinch, right? Then there's the other type of person at the other extreme. Can I have the next photo? There's this guy, SpongeBob, if you don't know who it is. Now, SpongeBob, well, I'm pretty sure the whole world could be set on fire and he would still be happy and joyous and jumping around like a clown. But there's these two types of people in the world, right? There's either the Grinch or there's SpongeBob. And for some reason, we kind of, if you had to pick one of these two, and if I had to pick one of the two, you could only pick one side to be on. The chances are I'm going to pick the Grinch's side. Because I don't think anybody could be that joyous for that long without being sane still. Like, it's just, it's like he's got his head buried in the sand, SpongeBob. Like, there's nothing happened, like, gone completely, right? Ignorance is bliss, you know, kind of thing. He's oblivious to it all. And most of us in the room are old enough and ugly enough to know that life is not always a box of roses, right? We know that life is not always easy because there's a growing pile of bills that just start to mount up. And we look at our bank account and there's not enough in it. And we go to the doctors and we get a medical report and we think, oh, that's not good. You know, you know, at Christmas time, we're going to catch up with the family. But the last time we caught up with the family, there was this big fight and things happened. And we, you know what I'm saying? Life is not always like SpongeBob predicts it out to be, this joyous thing all the time. Like someone comes along and wishes you a Merry Christmas and you've had a tough week. So you go, I wish you a Merry Christmas. Come on. Let's, you know, like that's kind of where you're at, right? That would be me. That would be me, right? This is what we're going to talk about is joy and transforming from one side to the other side. If you're joining us online, a very special welcome to you. It's so good to have you with us. If you're joining us via podcast on demand later in the week, it is good. Tell us where you're watching from. We are in week 4 of our series on Christmas. And we've been looking at the good news of Christmas, and week one we looked at where we put our hope, what's our hope in. Week two we looked at the good news of God's love, and we looked at that. Week three we looked at the good news of God's peace, and Zoe did that one last week. This week we're going to move on to joy. I want to talk about the good news that causes great joy. Yeah? And how we go from Grinch to SpongeBob, maybe not fully to SpongeBob, but you know, head that way. Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. Let's get into it. Father God, we come before you today, knowing that you're the God of the universe. We know there is no one like you. And this year, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus yet again, help us to prepare ourselves to celebrate firstly, but help us to prepare our hearts for the second coming of Jesus. Help us to get right on track with you, to see you properly and surely for the God of the universe. Lord, speak in a mighty way today in this place and do something amazing in our midst. In our Lord and Saviour, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. I want to start this week. I want to ask you a question, because we're looking at joy and how we move from one side to the other. Have you ever had a song stuck in your head? Yeah? A few of you? Well, because I was talking about joy this week, I had the song, "If You're Happy and You Know It, Clap Your Hands." Well, I wasn't singing that version of it, though. This is the version I was singing. If you're happy and you know it, we don't care. If you're happy and you know it, we don't care. Because your happiness is based on what is happening to you. If you're happy and you know it, we don't care. Now, don't send me any complaints and emails. Please don't do that. We do care. We care when people are going through stuff. We care when life throws stuff at you. We care when the medical reports come in and something rocks your world. We care when you get beaten in life from one side to the other. But it proves a point that happiness is based on what is happening to you. Does that make sense? Happiness is based on what is happening. And I know there's people in the room, there's people online that are going through some stuff. And you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy. But that stuff is happening to you. It doesn't bring happiness in the sense of, you know, this SpongeBob type character. You know, it doesn't do that. But we live in a world and a day and age that says, you know, do what you want that makes you happy. If it feels good, do it, because that will make you happy. And we chase happiness. But happiness is not really what we want. Or we should be chasing. Hence the we don't care bit. See, joy is different. Joy is not based on what is happening to you at the time. And joy is not something that you go searching for. Joy is something you have access to now. Right here, right now, you have access to it. That whatever's happening, that joy can break through that, break through what is happening in your life, so that you have joy regardless of what's going on. Does that make sense? There is a marked difference between happiness and joy. Happiness based on what is happening. Joy you have access to right now. And that joy can break through. And I've only ever done this once before, but I want to preach from two different passages today. So you're going to have to stay with me on this one. It's going to be fun. Don't worry. We'll get there. The first passage is Isaiah chapter 9. So if you've got your Bibles, open them up. Isaiah chapter 9. Old Testament, old school. We're going to look at this passage really quickly, Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 1. I know Zoe was in Isaiah chapter 9 last week with verse 6, but we're going to look at verse 1 and head there. And then the second passage is going to be Luke chapter 2. So we're going to look at the prediction, the prophecy that was given about Jesus, and then we're going to look at the announcement that he's here. So that's what we're going to do, is the two passages. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Are you ready? Yeah. Two, three people, four people. Oh, good Lord, this is... Why do I put so much work into this? It's only four people. Anyway. And the 11 online. Right. Are you ready? Yeah. All right, here we go. It says this, nevertheless, say nevertheless. There was no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. Now, this is interesting that Isaiah starts like this. that there will be no more gloom. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me, to have no more gloom. Like, come on, who wants that? Well, the ones that don't have their hands up, are you guys like, just, did you like them? I'll pray for you guys as well. No more gloom. Sounds really good to me, right? No more gloom. But it's more than just happiness and what's happening to you at the time. This is talking about there's something different, a real joy. And in the Hebrew, and sorry, in the Greek language, there is actually no word for for happiness and joy. It's the same word. This is why in James he says, consider it pure joy, real joy, when you face trials of many kinds. There's something different than just normal. Does that make sense? And this is what Isaiah is saying too. There is something different about this. There's no more gloom coming, right? No more gloom. And then he goes on, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. A few years ago, Zoe and I went down to the caves down in Yellingup. Have anybody been down that way? Seen the cave? We did, I think it was the Mammoth Cave that does it, and we went down into, you climb like 4,000 steps down into the cave and you hang out down there. And on this particular tour, what they did was turn out the lights. You done that one? Anybody been there? Yep. When they turned out the lights, you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. Like, you can't see a single, there is no light. It is complete, it's one of the very few times I think I've ever seen complete darkness. Right? You can't see anything. So everything looks the same because you can't see it to start with. Make sense? It's only with light that you get to see some stuff. But you couldn't see your hand, couldn't see anything. And so here we are now, and Isaiah's saying people were living in complete darkness. They couldn't see a thing. And it kind of makes sense because in this day and age, they were being oppressed by the Midianites. They were being abused by the Midianites. They were being conquered and put to death by the Midianites. And they were just seeing death and destruction, and they were under siege, and it didn't look like it was going to happen for them. It didn't look like they would ever get out of it. And so for them, everything was dark, miserable, a mess. There was death, destruction. They were slaves. They were held captive. They were downtrodden, beaten, and that was it. But a light has dawned. Verse 3, you enlarge the nation and increase their
joy.
Who wants to increase joy? Yeah. Go from Grinch to somewhere on the SpongeBob spectrum. Like, increase their joy. The light comes. The great light has dawned. The great light is here, right? And it enlarges the nations, enlarges their property, enlarges their wealth, and brings them joy. They rejoice before the people rejoice before harvest. So in other words, they have so much joy that it is spilling out of them now, like when they first do their harvest and they get a great crop off the harvest, and then as warriors rejoice when dividing up the plunder. So in other words, when they went to war and they beat the enemy and the enemy takes off running, they leave all their spoils behind, all the gold and the tunics and everything else. So this is joyous type stuff that they're talking about, that this light comes in and brings joy, brings people to a place of rejoicing where they can't contain it. It just comes out. This is the joy that I want, right? And this is what it's saying. This great light has come and it's producing and these people to just be so joyful and they're rejoicing. Verse 4, for as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. These were the ones oppressing him, oppressing them. This Midian army who did a number of things to oppress their enemies. What they would do is have a secondary set of boots tied to their first set of boots. So when they marched, it sounded like twice the army that was marching towards them. Right? They would cover their cloaks and their robes in blood. So that when they did see someone, people would be fearful that they were so strong and conquered so many enemies that the blood of their enemies was still on them. And so they would rule with fear and captivate people with fear. Can I tell you, the reason some of us don't have joy is because we're held back by fear. And yet a great light has dawned. A great light is coming in. A great light is breaking through to free them. A great light is coming through. And this is what it says, verse 5. Every warrior's boots used in the battle and every garment rolled in blood will be disdained for burning or destined for burning and will be fuel for their fire. In other words, God is going to take what the enemy has, their fear, how they, you know, give fear and how they do. They're going to take what the enemy has and he's going to transform it and you're going to use it for your benefit. You're going to use it for your life, your walk. Does that make sense? He's breaking through. There's a breakthrough that's happening here. A breakthrough that's releasing the captives. A breakthrough that is releasing these people under bondage. A breakthrough that is no longer ruled by fear, but the light is coming through to take it all out. This is amazing, amazing stuff, that the light is going to have a victory in our world. And then it says this, for us, a child is born. And for us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Zoe talked about that last week, that verse. So I'm not going to go into that verse, but Zoe talked about that last week. Go and podcast it if you didn't catch it. But this is the good news, that there is a great light coming into the world that's going to free us from bondage, free us from fear, free us from all of the stuff that holds us back. And this good news is going to enlarge our territory, enlarge the blessings, enlarge everything we've got, and bring us joy. So much so that we're going to be rejoicing. It's going to be coming out of us. Does that make sense? Rejoicing. Right. Push all that aside for a second. Right. Keep it there. Let's get to the second passage, Luke chapter 2. Right. Luke chapter 2. So that's the prophecy that was given about Jesus. Let's go to Luke chapter 2 where Jesus is actually born. And we know that he's born in a manger and all that has happened. And then there's this angel that comes along and gives the announcement. Luke chapter 2 verse 8. We'll start it there. And there was shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Every time I read that, I always read socks at night, washing their socks. I can't help it. It's the joy, that's right. There were shepherds watching. Do you know what? Watching sheep during the day is pretty boring to start with. They're just like little cotton wool bud things walking around. At night? They do nothing. They just plonk themselves down. That's it. Like, this is a boring job, right? Being a shepherd back in this day, boring job, watching these little fluffy things just everywhere. Like, it was boring. But the thing in this day and age was, if you were a shepherd, you were considered the lowest of the low. You were considered as people who really were not deserving of anything. Generally, you smelt because you've been out with the sheep and in the parks and sleeping outside and all that kind of stuff. So you smelled pretty bad, probably like poo from sheep. You were dealing with sheep. Like, it was a low-end job. And shepherds didn't have the greatest reputation because they would take sheep from other fields and other pastures and other people. So they were notorious for doing this, going, oh, that's mine, and they would just collect another 10. And so they had not a great reputation. They were considered smelly. They were considered low. If you were a shepherd, it's not what you would dream of becoming when you were 4 and 5 years old. I want to be a firefighter. I want to be a shepherd. Nobody ever said that. Nobody wanted to be a shepherd, right? Ordinary person in the community, lowest of the low. Verse 9, the angel comes. The angel of the Lord appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I'm just going to say it. You would be too. We'd all be terrified. It's on my bucket list to see an angel before I leave the planet. That would be kind of cool. But let's face it, if an angel appeared in here, I reckon most of us would faint. Just be shocked, full of fear, and just poof, down. Right? Let's face it, we would. Right? But the shepherds see this angel, right? Angel just pop up. And the angel said to them, verse 10, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Say good news. Come on, say it like you know what the good news is, because we just talked about it from Isaiah. Say good news. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Say great joy. Good news that will cause great joy. Good news, a great light coming in, breaking through the darkness, breaking through, setting the oppressed free, setting people free. That good news will bring great joy to all people. It's exciting stuff that the good news brings great joy. So why are we more like the Grinch? Because I don't have a problem with the good news. I believe the good news of Jesus Christ coming to this earth as a baby born, as a baby as fragile as the baby was, and then growing up and taking my place in death by dying on a cross and being having his nails run through and doing all of that for me. And my heart's his, and he's my Lord and Savior. And all of that is true. The good news is easy. That will cause great joy. That's the bit that I'm... Come on, who's with me? You might know the good news, but the joy sometimes will be more like the Grinch. And so I want to get... It's really easy to read over this. I believe the good news. And it says that it causes great joy. But I'm not always joyful. Or maybe I'm not always happy. There is a difference, remember? But I started kind of looking at this idea. And I kind of got to a place where I thought of a couple of things. We know what the good news is for us, yeah? That God breaks through into our darkness, into our mess, brings light into our life, that restores, transforms it, takes us from one place to another, that he loves us that much. We've talked about that for the last couple of weeks. But this great joy... The good news that brings great joy, the first thing we've really got to do is take it personally. Because here's the thing, right? Let's say Ruby won $1 million. That's good news, right? That's great news. I'm your best friend now. Yeah. It's good news. But if I won $1 million... That's good news that brings me great joy because it's mine. Does it make sense? It's like if I had a present. The present could be for anyone, but they need to accept it. And we need to accept that Jesus, that the good news, that Jesus coming in, breaking through, understanding what he is doing here, that's what we've got to hold on to. That's what we've got to have personally connected to, that he has broken through the darkness. To bring light. And light will always overcome darkness, but darkness can never overcome light. And so when we give our lives to Jesus, we personally accept him as our Lord and Savior. We accept the good news in our life, that what God has done. Then the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Joy. Which means that we have it already. If we've given our lives to Jesus... And we're living for him. That means we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The evidence of this is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Love, joy. Joy is there. It's here already. Which means it's now a choice whether we exercise it or not. Make sense? See, we have to accept it personally. Absolutely. The good news. Personally, but that should drive us to great joy, and it should drive us to great joy because of what happens secondary to knowing that the good news. Because this is the difference of when people who are joyful and those who are not joyful. The difference is what they're looking at, their perspective on it all. Does that make sense? So they've got to accept it personally. Right? Accept the good news for themselves as making Jesus their Lord and Savior. And when that happens, then we are given the promised Holy Spirit. Therefore, we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's all in there. We have to exercise it. We have to develop it. Absolutely. But it's there. But this then becomes a perspective thing. Because in my perspective, what's happening around me does not bring me joy at all. Doesn't even bring me happiness. But actually, if I'm looking towards God and looking to what he has done and looking to where he has saved me, then all of a sudden, I'm seeing something in a totally different picture. Does that make sense? You see, the good news becomes great joy when we shift our perspective from we trying to control the situation to the one who can actually control the situation. Our good news becomes great joy when we shift our attention to the maker of the universe instead of what is happening around us. The good news becomes great joy when we remember that God is faithful. And if he was faithful in the past, he'll be faithful again in the future, which means that he can and he will do it. The good news becomes great joy when we see God in all his glory and splendor, knowing that he is the one above all other things. The good news becomes great joy when we remember that our God is a God of breakthroughs. And I don't know, a lot of the time I need breakthroughs. And he's a God who can do breakthroughs. The good news becomes great joy when we know God can do all things. The good news becomes great joy when we fix our eyes on him, the author and pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The good news becomes great joy when we remember that it is God who provides. It is God who sustains. It is God who governs all our needs. The good news becomes great joy when we remember that God is our friend. But he's also a king in control. The good news becomes great joy when we shift our perspective from where we are to the things in heaven. It doesn't mean you walk around like SpongeBob. Let's be real. That SpongeBob is just he'd be a lot to try and be around all the time, wouldn't he? Like if you had SpongeBob living in your house, you'd probably want to kill him. Come on, let's face it. But we shouldn't be the Grinch either, because he's miserable about everything. See, our joy comes when we personally shift our perspective from what is happening to the one who can make it happen. Amen?
Amen.
Our joy comes when we personally shift. We have to do it. Knowing Jesus is not the question here. Knowing the good news is not the question. It's the joy. Where's the joy? It comes when we personally shift our perspective from what is happening around us to the one who can make things happen. And I tell you, when we're looking at God and what he can do, we're less like the Grinch and we're more like SpongeBob. It doesn't mean that you can't go through periods of life that where you're unhappy. What it means is that there's a joy inside you that means that you can walk through hell itself and it wouldn't shake you, wouldn't take your joy away. Does that make sense? That you can walk through hell. In fact, they could beat you and life can beat you and bruise you and knock you around and it still won't take your joy. You might be unhappy about it, and I would be unhappy about it, but your joy still remains because you know that one day you're going to be standing with God in heaven, in paradise, in a place that is beyond our even biggest comprehensions. And he says to you, well done, good and faithful servant. And that joy just kind of then springs through again. Does that make sense? They could even take us out and kill us. It wouldn't matter. Because we get to be with God, him. No longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The very next verse says, what should I choose? What should I choose? If I stay, I can help you. If I go, I get to be with God in heaven. It's known as the wonderful dilemma of Paul. We get to do that. We get to be in heaven if we keep our eyes fixed, that it doesn't matter what is happening here. I'll get the keys to come up. I'll get the singers to come up. Luke 2, verse 12, the last part of this verse says this, if it's coming up on the screen. This will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So the angels say to the shepherds this day, this will be your sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. There's an invitation that is given. An invitation given to the shepherds to come and see Jesus for themselves to see the good news that will cause great joy. And so the invitation for us today is still there, for us to go and experience, to see this baby, to see the good news. And for a lot of us, we get the good news. We understand it. We live by it. God is our Lord and Savior. Then the invitation still becomes to focus from what is happening to God, to see Jesus, to see who He is and what He has done. Does that make sense? It's an invitation given to the shepherds, an invitation given to us today, where we can find real joy, pure joy. Not this fake happiness stuff that we see in the world, but real, deep-rooted joy that God gives us. In the tough times, in the times that are painful, in the times of suffering, in the times of loss, in the times where we just feel like the world is against us, we can still have real joy. But the invitation is to come and see Him, wherever we're at. So we're going to sing just the chorus version of this song. Oh, come, let us adore Him. For He alone is worthy. This is who we're worshiping. This is who we're seeing. This is who we want to see today. So we're going to sing this great song, just the chorus parts. And if God is speaking, you can stand and you can just say to yourself, I'm going to focus again on Jesus. I'm going to refocus. I'm going to just look towards Him. I'm not going to take on what